What's up?
Are you, man? How are you?
I'm Ryan Clark, man. It's such a pleasure, man. It is such a pleasure, man.
I didn't know Ryan Clark could be here, man. I got that same coat.
Right, absolutely. Right, what's up, man? How are you?
All right, bro. Look at you. What the hell?
Man, you are clean, man.
I watch you every goddamn morning, man.
Oh, I appreciate that, man.
We got to trade numbers. We got to trade numbers.
Absolutely.
How you doing? Rick Flair. How are you, man?
Man, I know who you are.
Kelly, Ryan Clark, my man.
How you doing?
Mr. Twitter.
Yeah, I know, right?
I love it, man.
My man, Fred, man.
How are you, Rick Flair?
Pleasure to meet you.
Yes, man.
Holy cow. Pittsburgh Steelers, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You got them Gators on, too, right?
Hey. Shit, I see you. I see you.
Two of them. Yeah.
I'll bring it to you.
I see you. Let's go, man.
All right. Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On the mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On the mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key. I mean, the pivot, like, we didn't. This is it. This is it, man. I mean.
Major pivot.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm shaking. We're talking to
the Rolex wearing.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
The ring wearing.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Jet flying. You know what I'm saying? Kiss stealing. Son of a gun, man.
And all the above.
I mean, it's Ric Flair. The man needs no introduction. You know, Channing, Fred. You know, this might be it. I may retire from podcasting after this. Hey, man, this is the pivot. Subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and make sure you like. You know, the more you like, the more we like you. Rick, so I'm just going to jump right into it. We know what we got to see when we cut our TVs on and Ric Flair got under the lights. What type of childhood makes that man, though? You had to, your parents, like my dad is freaking awesome. My dad's here. Like, he... It's crazy, parties. He taught me how to be a man in so many ways. What was your childhood like?
Just the opposite. I mean, well, my parents were fabulous, but I was, my dad had two doctorates, medical doctor and a PhD in theater and English. My mother had a master's in theater and English. They were more than, like, well-educated. My dad was a valedictorian of the high school, the junior year. In high school in Virginia, Minnesota. So, and I'm adopted. So, I don't know how they ended up with me, man. You know, I was 13 years in high school. One more. And then I went to Minnesota, you know, and I ended up not predicting, you know what that is. In other words, I didn't go to class. I probably would have started my sophomore year, but. I don't know. I just they were great. I was just a lot to handle. But I'll be honest with you. I don't know how they put up with it. I was just born to be the nature boy.
I was gonna get into that.
Freddie, you gotta tuck yours in, man. We gotta tuck our chain. I should have worn my new suit over here, man.
So yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, you said being adopted. Is it safe to say you were never bullied as a kid?
Yes.
Yeah?
Never bullied.
Just a natural badass.
No. I just got along with people, to be honest with you. I didn't conduct myself like that. I didn't have problems. It's kind of like when I got in the business. And I mean, it can be a very tough and sensitive business, and you can fight it, you know. And, you know, I'm talking about who's going to win, who's going to lose.
Right. Ric Flair, the persona. When did it start?
Yeah. You know what I really started thinking about was when I saw Joe Namath.
Really?
At Alabama, yeah. He just, but maybe 3 or 4 years older than me, but I was in high school, obviously. And when I heard that he slept with 100 girls in freshman year.
Broadway Joe, baby.
I said, that I got a man.
I love it. It's so
hey, and, I mean, I say this to this day. I mean, you guys tell me how you honestly feel about this, especially you, Ryan. I mean, all of your athletes. If you put Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, all these guys in the room, and Joe Namath was sitting in the room with them, who's the first guy you'd walk to?
Joe Namath.
Much respect. Joe. Yeah. Broadway.
Yeah.
Nobody ever liked him. I mean, in terms of
turning the league around. He's responsible for making the AFL. I mean, it's just, I mean, he doesn't get enough credit, you know, because he had so many injuries and the knees and that. But, I mean, he just brought so much charisma to football and the sports. I saw this guy in the mink coat, and then I went and got a mink coat, and then when I got older, and I just thought he was it, you know, reading about bachelor's three in the clubs. And, you know, we all kind of grew up on that.
Yeah. So the difference is the NFL, though, they're going to protect the shield.
Yeah.
You know, they can't have one player bigger than
the game. No, I realize, yeah.
He was bigger than wrestling.
Yeah, you were bigger than wrestling.
Yeah.
In
our opinion.
And it is now, because people look back on it and it's changed a lot. But, I mean, like some of my best friends are like Snoop and I are really close, and Charles Barkley. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, it's just something I felt. To my dismay, once in a while, living my life, everything I said on TV, I pretty much did. Four marriages. So, yeah.
Do you have to like crank up? Like, can you go from being Rick, you chilling, watching the game, because you love sports, obviously.
Right.
And then you have to come Nature Boys? What's that?
One cup of coffee, Nature's ready to go.
Always.
But no, Ryan, I would have had two before I got over here.
but you have to, like, you have, you do you know that you have to change, that you have to
no,
click
I,
in when it, you see
it,
people?
I don't have a problem with that. I don't overthink it. I just, you know, we used to remember Buckhead when Buckhead was just fabulous, right? We'd fly in there on a private jet Friday night, stay out till 4 a.m, 5, show up at Techwood with Turner Studios, and maybe 2 hours of live TV, and then you guys watch it at 6 at night. So, but it was just the way we were. Like Dusty, the same thing. Dusty just had that charisma, you know. It's really not fair for the kid today. They don't travel like we did. They don't have the lifetime experiences, because social media doesn't let you go out and have fun. I mean, we just had so much fun. I mean, I saw Ricky Morton yesterday. Remember Rock and Roll Express?
Yeah.
I wrestled him 18 consecutive hour draws. And when back in like 86, when we shot a Lango back then.
Right.
18 consecutive hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday, 2 weeks in a row. And I saw him yesterday. I mean, people don't understand. I didn't have a day off from 74 to 89.
Wow.
And if I did, they would want me to go, you know, someone needs a favor, you know, you're the champion, don't make the board of directors mad. But I just made the best of it. I had fun and traveled the world and, you know, got to meet so many great people. And now look at it, I'm here today.
Right. But Rick, I just want to just stand with Dusty Rhodes. One time I watched the interview, you said he inspired you. I want to know what it was like when you guys had your matchups. Like,
well, it was great, with me and Dusty, man, I would argue about who was going to go first, because I wanted him to make the first interview, but he was the booker, so he put me out there first more. So, and we just went at each other, and it was fun, you know. It was, you know, it's like half-ass shoot, if you know what I mean by that, but it's not done to killing each other, but we were very competitive. But that's what, at any level of sports, whether it's, you know, whether none of we are choreographed, but if you guys watch it, it's pretty dangerous.
Oh, it's high level of athleticism.
High level of athleticism.
Yeah,
the world.
Like the things you guys did.
Yeah, man. My daughter and Ronda went down.
Yeah.
And Ronda Rousey, by the way, can kick anybody's ass in this room.
100%.
Oh, no. I go to her sometimes. She goes, I'll kill you.
How is that, though, watching your daughter
you
do?
Oh, it's great. God, it's the highest high of my life. Forget anything I ever did. She's eclipsed it. And I've become good friends with Rhonda. And I mean, they're two of the greatest athletes, I think, in the world today.
But your daughter, like, playing ball, like, our sons play ball.
Yeah.
Ryan's son is Arizona State.
Yeah.
Joe is a monster. Like, watching our kids play a sport like that, a competitive sport, or even a combat sport, you're scared of them getting hurt. You don't watch your daughter fight with fear? Because I don't, like, every time my son hits somebody, I'm like,
I did it first, but I've heard Ryan say this on TV. The minute you worry about getting hurt, you can't compete at the highest level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're thinking, as I got older and they said, well, I mean, I was 56 years old and they wanted me to wrestle Brock Lesnar. I go, come on, Vince. What the hell? Wait. I go to Brock. just go easy, kid. Listen to me. I won't hurt you. Don't hurt me.
Right. More so, don't
I'll
hurt me.
I'll just poke you in the eye, and that's it. Just go, ah. But your son's out there with
he's out there with Herm Edwards.
Yeah, I love him. I never got to meet him. I love him, man.
Rick, you can pretty much meet whoever you want. Yeah.
Like no, but I was going to go out there. Liz, his daughter's on, she's on a track and field team.
Okay.
Yeah. So and my youngest stepdaughter's out there.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. So, like it's
no, I love Herm Edwards. I thought he was great on broadcast.
Like it's crazy to hear you. Because, you know, you talked about Joe Namath and you've spoken about Dusty Rhodes and like all of these people that inspired you. You know, you mentioned Joe Namath being a guy that kind of gave you, this is the persona I want to have. Yeah. Like, you got to realize, like, for our culture, you are like that. You know, you mentioned being tight with Snoop. Like, there's a reason.
Yeah.
Like, Snoop ain't out here trying to be tight with the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah,
no. God rest his soul. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm just saying, like, there was a reason. You had a swag. You had a charisma. You had a confidence that in our communities, it resonated. It was like, you know, because we didn't have a ton of people that looked like us. It was like, nah, Rick is ours. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're the guy. And so
LeBron told me that first time I met LeBron, he said, you're the reason I bought my first Rolex watch, and you kept me out of a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you know that? Like, do you recognize that? Like,
I know Rolex. I know Rolex owes me a commercial.
But do you recognize what you did to us being younger guys? Like, do you recognize that you gave swag to people?
Killer Mike, and I've just, you know, even a Bad Bunny. I mean, just everybody is. You don't think about it when you're growing up or why you're doing it. But actually, I'm probably better known now than I was when I was actually wrestling at my height. So it's just grace of God, being in the right place.
Oh, you're 30 for 30, and this is what Channing's been wanting to get to. I've been seeing him over there.
Because he said Namath had 101 year.
Yeah, so
I heard about your number.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rick, I heard about your number.
That was just hypothetical.
But it was 10,000 was the number I heard. 10,000 women. That's what we're speaking about, right, RC? 10,000 women. Rick, 10,000?
Well, you know, if I say it to you, you won't believe this.
No, I believe it.
Okay. Do 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do that for 20 years.
Mm. Yeah.
Then do 300 days for 20 years. Right? That's 40. I don't know.
I got you.
I had fun.
Run it up.
I had fun. No, I just had fun. And believe me, like I said in my 30 for 30, if I'm in Hutchinson, Kansas, wrestling an hour in a used car parking lot in the rain, people are walking around looking at used cars, which we did as a world champion. And I mean, it's a true story. And I'm going to find something to do. and they all get better looking at closing time, trust me. You are absolutely the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen in my life. How old are you? How much do you weigh? are you even in the realm?
why was the weight important?
That's just me.
So
I'm just entertaining you guys.
So a dime at 9 p.m. is different than a dime at 2 a.m.
Oh, a lot different. Completely different. Especially after 20 vodkas.
Oh, I love it. And even that, like that lifestyle, like maintaining that through life, like did it start getting to you? Because, bro, we know that you did your thing. Like, we don't know what 10,000 might be, but we know you had a good time.
I did.
But, like, did it start, like, after so long, did it start wearing on you, or you embraced nature?
I almost died 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I had a stoma for years. I mean, it took me 2 years. Really 2 years to heal from that. And then the stoma came off and I started, you know, just my testosterone level went down to 23. That alone can kill you, right? I mean, that's how sick I was. So then I went into business for myself, you know, looking for the, what do we call them? the Age Rejuvenation Clinic. Two shots a week now.
You ready to go?
I'm back up and running, though.
You got that, hey, man?
I'm making a commercial for the game.
Rick, you mentioned, you know, almost dying. And for someone that's larger than life to many people, what was that experience like, you know, facing your mortality?
Well, I'll tell you, it's the damnest thing. I was actually with a guy that I'm working with today, Chris Randolph, at a bar in Atlanta. And he'd come into town. We were doing an alligator boot deal. And we drank two straight days. And at 5 o'clock, he took off to the airport to Atlanta to come back here. And I, 31 days later, I woke up in ICU, and I don't even remember. Wow. 13 days on life support. So, I mean, then I had no memory for 6 months. I could remember going forward, but I had no memory of the past. And it was like, and they wrote me off. I mean, they made a package. I was in the operative Monday morning, and the WWE made a package because it was like 5% chance that I'd make it through it. So, yeah, it makes you reevaluate, answer your question, it makes you reevaluate everything. But at the end of the day, I still think that if you're not hurting anybody and you're certainly not being malicious, I don't think it's wrong to have fun. And I'm not going to stop. You know, I spent a year, which is really hard to deal with. I spent another year worrying that I was going to die every day. Does that make sense?
Right.
Once you've been that sick, I mean, all you do, and then it's kind of like getting over that anxiety. Then you start feeling more comfortable. And then I had, you know, one beer and then one champagne and then two beers. And then a couple of, now I'm drinking a vodka once in a while. So I'm comfortable. And I guess the best way to put it is there's nothing else left for me to do. And I'm gonna have fun, and my family's all in a good place, successful. Both my daughters are doing well, my son's doing well. I lost a son, you know, and it was just his anniversary the other day. But I'm just lucky. I mean, how am I here today with you guys? I'm 73, and you're over here telling me that I'm something special. How lucky am I?
So we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of your son's passing.
Yeah, it was 13.
13,
yeah.
Right? Do you do anything special in remembrance, or would you do anything different, you know, next year? Maybe?
I cry a lot.
Sorry.
I sure, if you... The sad thing is that he was on my watch. Does that make sense? His mother, I just flew him back from Japan because he wanted to go to WrestleMania. And he was wrestling in Japan. I finally thought I found a place where he couldn't get into trouble, right? I told him when I left, I said, they put Paul McCartney in jail here. Okay, buddy, you can't screw around in Japan. And you can't. The laws are much stricter than here. But somehow he came home and he was staying with his mom, and he kept calling me, Dad, please come get me. I can't take it over here. So I went and got him, brought him with me, took him and bought him a couple of new pairs of Nike tennis shoes, and I let him out of my sight for about an hour and a half. And then we're up at Del Frisco's in Piedmont Row, and I'm with friends, watching what's going on right now, the NCAA tournament. And he wasn't drinking, he was drinking water, he wasn't doing anything. And went back to my place. I got there and there he was on the floor. You know, and I've seen him like that 100 times. I basically told this story in my 30 for 30, but I just, I called up 911 again, because that's ambulance and it's the police. It's not just the ambulance. So, and every time the police, I had such a good rapport with the police, and that they didn't report him He didn't make the news every time he went in. So that was them being nice to me. But I decided, no, I'm just not going to do it again. I'll just put him back to bed, which I have done it both ways. And in the morning, I went to get him because we were going to WrestleMania. And I went to wake him up, and he was purple again, which I've seen. And the Narcon didn't work this time. And the guy walked out in the hall. They always ask you to leave the room for a second. Walked back in the hall, and the guy said, he said, Ricky didn't make it. I was in shock. I'm not trying to bring the mood down, guys.
We all have children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing. You learn that for time. That damn heroin's not an addiction. It's a disease. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all had addictions, we've all had issues. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I was in rehab, when I put me in rehab, I started smoking. It took me 3 months after I got out of rehab to quit smoking. And yet, you know, nicotine is one that kills me. I dipped for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Finally, I just said, you've got to quit this. I mean, you know, you're going to lose a lip. Something's going to happen. And but it's so strong, you know.
Look, Rick, what's that healing process? I'm tearing up.
Go ahead, ask me.
It's fine. But what's that healing process? Because like you said, we all got kids, multiple kids. Because, mm-hmm. I can make babies, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good at it.
Okay. I'm two times yet.
but what's that, that healing process?
Secretary of Dr. Pastor.
He said he's two times snip.
but with that thing, man, how do you, tough day one, day two, day three, and now, you know what I'm saying, like you say, 13 years later, are you healed? Are you?
Well, for 5 years, I drank from 10 in the morning until 2 a.m.
Because of that?
Yep. I quit working out, everything. Something I've done every day of my life. I worked out every day of my life. 500 free squats, an hour on the Stairmaster, on a revolving Stairmaster, PT 4000. I mean, I mastered them all. That was one of the reasons I was successful, I think, in business. I was in better shape than most of the guys I wrestled. I think it was 4 years, but I couldn't shake it. I just couldn't shake it. I couldn't live with myself. I just kept wondering every day you wake up, and it's still right in front of you, what happened? Because he and I were so close. He was a guy that he won 14 state between Georgia and North Carolina State AAU wrestling championships. He won 4 nationals, the Tulsa Nationals, a tournament of champions, the AAU Nationals twice. And, you know, maybe I pushed him too hard. Then he went to where Blair Academy is, Ryan, right? Yes, up in New Jersey.
Yep.
He got into Blair Academy, which is like they were 21 national champions, prep school national champions, which is really a tough. Usually when you think prep school, you think it's not as tough, but that Blair Academy and St. Ed's and stuff like that is big time. And sometimes I wonder if I pushed them too hard, you know. It's like Ashley. When I saw that Ashley had these gifts, I just went, as every father that's played sports, you know, now you got to get the jump on it. They got the gift.
Support.
Yeah, you can't just start in the ninth grade anymore. You can. Mm-hmm. But if they have that gift and you don't give them the, you know, and by the way, as you know, being a traveling AAU parent, it's a big responsibility for the parents, but it's your kids, man. They're good at it. You want them to have everything they have. So, but somewhere along the line, I must have pushed them too hard.
Is that something that you blame yourself for?
I think it's possible, yes. I don't blame myself for it, but I mean, I think about him every day. I keep, especially because he would have been so good at this business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was quick talk. I mean, he had it bingo. He would have loved you guys. He remember, he was like 16 years old. And I went down to his room one night, and in a trophy case in the middle of it. He had an empty bottle of Louis XIII. And I said, where'd you stay? He said, well, I got it from my cabin upstairs. I said, Reed, you're 16 years old, man. You've got to get a grip. I said, Dad, you and Blackjack aren't booking the territory anymore. who says that to their dad? You're not booking the territory anymore.
He was a flair.
Yeah, he was a flair. Yeah. Absolutely.
Remember Blackjack Mulligan, right?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
You and Blackjack are not booking the territory anymore. Okay. I used to walk. We had a three-level house. I just like, I almost got an elevator. Could I go upstairs, make sure she was sleeping, and back down to keep him?
Yeah.
It was brutal, but. They're just two beautiful kids, and they just, you know, it's like, I'm sure you have it in your family too. They competed with each other, boy, for my attention. It was a dad, mom's not going to the wrestling tournament. You're going. I got to go to volleyball this weekend.
Right.
Can't leave me with mom. She didn't even know what, the switch is there.
What was, obviously being Ric Flair and being a nature boy is all encompassing. You know, you had to be able to turn that on. Like you said, you worked so many days for so many years. Was it hard to be the dad you wanted to be and also be the nature boy at the same time?
Well, my first two kids, I never saw them at all, guys. They moved, their mom aced me, man. I gave her the house and everything, but then she moved back to Minneapolis. And the NWA did not encompass Minneapolis then. So I just saw them in the summertime and then at Christmas and the holidays, but I had to work. So they basically traveled with me. It wasn't like just going to the beach for 2 weeks off of them, you know? And now my schedule changed a lot when my kids were growing up, the younger ones. So I got to spend more weekends and then I got where I was involved in the office where I could take days off on weekends. You know, we'd work 5 days and then go to a wrestling tournament for the weekend, get back in, be at Raw Monday night. And then, so I had a lot more time with them. So it's, you know, it was really unfair to my older kids. That them I totally understand. But they're doing well now, they understand. And they all moved down to Charlotte where I was at the time. So I must have done something right in their case. But I did everything financially possible, but I just wasn't there.
But isn't that the sacrifice of being nature boy? Like, would that be the biggest sacrifice you had to make in life? Being who you were, being, you know, a worldwide star, but your family.
That it is the biggest sacrifice, but yeah. It wasn't just me being nature boy. It's just being a wrestler. You know, I am probably one of the only guys that ever stayed in one city, basically his whole career. And usually the guys you move from territory to territory to territory, like Dwayne's dad, Rocky Johnson. Like Dwayne and I talk about it. You know, his dad would be 6 months in Florida, then maybe a year in North Carolina, then a year out in the Dallas area. That's when the territories existed. How old are you, Ronnie? What, 38?
I'm 42.
42.
Yep.
Who were some of the big stars when you were watching?
When I started, it was Kamala.
Come on, yeah.
Jimmy Fly, Snooker.
The guys from New York.
Jake the Snake.
Jake's been down here too.
Big Andre the Giant.
That was
when we were kids. I'm 38, so we right there close.
Andre and I are the same age.
Yeah.
I drove when Andre first started, I drove him around. He broke into Minneapolis with me and Vern had me drive Andre around. They just call him Jean Frere then. That was a trip. Taking him down to Rush Street in Chicago. Hello, ladies. Meet Andre the Giant.
Around with Eddie, with this dude.
it was easy to get a woman with Andre the Giant.
It was easy.
That's a big ass lure. Ooh, yeah. You throw Andre the Giant out and reel it back.
Yes, you were the 24 ring since you get over here.
Rick, it had to be crazy, you know, at that time. Like you said, it wasn't social media like we have. So you could at least get out.
It had to be
nuts when y'all walked into a place. Like you couldn't walk in anywhere and not be known as the nature boy.
It was insanity. It was it was the greatest though. Now you'd be killed for it. But yeah, we were clubs in Rush Street. We loved going to Chicago or Urban now. You remember when the Helmsley Palace was the Helmsley Palace? Now it's just the Palace Hotel in Manhattan. It was Leona Helmsley, remember? She went to jail.
Yeah.
But there was a bar in there called Harry's Bar. Jesus. And then on my 40th birthday, I went down the Hawk, the Road Warriors. Hawk said, let's take Flair down to the Lone Star Cafe, and Chuck Berry was playing. And I was sitting with Liza Minnelli, Bill Murray, and Dan Aykroyd. And I gave these college kids that were sitting there $500 apiece. And Chuck had me up on stage with them, and just incredible stuff. I was at the opening of Studio 54. I mean, these are just, you know, clubs that were so famous back then.
Like, you are history. You know, we're sitting here listening to you, and some of the names that you're mentioning, you were in a different stratosphere as a wrestler. Like, you were a mega star. You know, like, almost a... You were almost out of body in the fact that you became a character that everybody wanted a piece of. Did it ever get, what was it hard for you, or how hard was it for you to remember that, you know, you're still Ric Flair? Because the Nature Boy persona at some point had to take over when...
Back then, I never stopped being Ric Flair. Richard Flair was non-existent. Are you Richard Flair? Who's that? When I put down my date of birth at the Age of Rejuvenation Clinic, now I go 225-69.
Yeah, that's when it started. That's when it started.
Not 49.
Well, I'm gonna be the first one to do it.
Woo! Woo!
where did that come from, man? I was waiting for y'all boys to do it. How did that come to
Jerry me? Lewis riding down the road at night, drive. We used to drive 3,000 miles a week, you know. Recognize the gracious great balls of fire. Woo! Jerry Lee.
Wow.
That's where I got it. 1974.
Did you ever have to, because obviously, you know, like you said, now you're more popular than even when, you know, you were wrestling. Was there ever a time that you had to look at it and say, you know what, I'm no longer the star I used to be? Or for you, has it continued to be spotlight and people, you know, wanting a piece of you and fans wanting to take pictures? Or did you ever have some of those moments where you were by yourself and you were like, you know what, I really haven't gotten to live a life outside of the caricature that I had to become in order to be so famous?
You know, people ask me all the time. My answer is, I think I'll be sad the day that, I mean, I'll be, I won't want that day when I walk in some place and people won't know who I am.
Wow.
You know, and that's not ego talking. That's just, you get there and then, like, moments like this is a big deal. I'm on your show. I'm 73 years old. And I'm you guys, you're all pro. I don't know if you guys are all pro, and I know your career very well. Mm. And you guys are, I'm entertaining you. How much better in life is it to get than that?
Yeah, I think, you know, that was one of those moments, you know, for us. And we've done this, and this is only, it's been 3 months, you know, that we've been doing this. And, you know, we've had, you know, the Floyd Mayweathers and the Alex Rodriguez's and all of these guys who are stars, but the feeling we got when we heard we had an opportunity to sit across from you was different. You know, it was one of those where, you know, you call your boys, and I was on group text, like, hey, y'all, we about to do Ric Flair. You know what I mean? And then when I send it over, I'm getting all of these, I'm getting videos of you and gifts of you and all of these different things, because everybody sees you the same way. So I don't think you're ever going to be in danger of walking into somewhere and people not being excited about that. But when you do get your moments alone, you know, your opportunities to reflect on all the things that you've done, what are some of your greatest memories of being the Nature Boy?
You know, Ryan, I just can't pick out just a couple. It's just been, I've been doing it so long and with so many great, I mean, wrestling Hogan and wrestling Piper, and wrestling Sting, and Steamboat, and Bret Hart. I mean, I've wrestled everybody except the current guys. Mm. I have wrestled Randy when he was with Evolution, and I wrestled Hunter, and I mean, I just didn't miss any of Shawn Michaels. I mean, all the great ones. And then becoming friends, I mean, like having Barkley walk in, you know, the Spectrum was the old building in Philadelphia. We were in the convention center. Guess who was sitting in front row in the convention center? Charles Barkley. That's right. Where I met Charles. We've become lifelong friends. And then Dennis Rodman. I used to have I had 10 gold gyms, and I had a big Christmas party at the Park Hotel. And in comes Michael Rodman and Scottie Pippen to the Christmas party. I got some great stories for you about that, too. For another podcast. Taking home my aerobics instructor before the big game. Dennis and I just stayed here. So I talked, me and Dennis are very close. I mean, I haven't seen Mike in a couple of years, but these great, great times. I mean.
But is there any downside to it? Like, do you ever, you know what I'm saying? You say 70 plus years old. Like, do you ever look back and, like, the stress of it? Like, the stress of being there? Because all the good times, there has to be bad times attached to it.
Well, the stress was missing my kids.
That was
the hardest. But I've made up for that. And then, of course, we discussed the real stress is trying to figure out. I spend maybe 2 weeks around this time of the year trying to figure out what I could have done differently.
Well, even like you're saying, like, I had to do the woo. I did the woo.
Yeah,
you ever walk in a restaurant, they got to hit you with it. Hey, Rick, give it to us. And you, I don't want to woo right now, because I want to go eat a chimichanga.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You know, you can be as nice as you want to everybody all day long. And then if your personality, like any of us right here, and the first person you say no to, oh, what a prick.
Yep.
Right or wrong, right?
No, you're absolutely
Ryan
right.
Ryan Clark, what a prick. He wouldn't stop. You can have your kids. They can walk up with it. And my favorite line is, they walk up to you, sorry to bother you, but I said, don't bother me then.
Right. Right. If you're sorry.
Yeah. Answer your own question.
Right.
No, but then I start laughing because they get, you know, all silent. Come here. Right.
Before we got started, you know, you mentioned it's been a crazy offseason in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know you're a huge fan. Any predictions for us?
Well, my favorite movie is that Brady came back,
okay.
Which I think is going to be great. And I just think no matter how old he gets, I mean, he just, you know, here's my problem. Ryan Clark can crack on these guys all day long because Ryan did it. Here's my take on sports commentary. Mm-hmm. But people that have never done it, never put on a jock, never sweat, never their dick knock in the dirt. I mean, Ryan lived on.
Yeah.
I hate it when they throw in their 2 cents. Because unless you paid that price to be who you are and to be like an all, I mean, guys are over all pro. Mm-hmm. 14-year career, great, but to have that all pro, I mean, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
It was a special for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, huge, right?
Yeah.
So then all these guys are in our business, right, that are just going along like this, and they never get there, you know? And so to be in that position, and be in it for so long is just—it's the greatest thing in the world for me. And I've learned how to be. Obviously, I've had to really reel in my behavior. Not that anything wrong, but it just you have to be so careful, and it's just you're micromanaging. You can't say you have to be very politically correct in the way you conduct yourself and handle yourself, and not. So my days of jumping on the bar and all that stuff and. Buying 100 kamikazes are behind me. I might buy 2 now.
I think Tom Brady, you know, certainly for us it was a shock.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of people it's a shock. But he just does so much. He's a well-oiled machine.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. He hasn't lost any velocity in that arm.
He has found the fountain of youth.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go take me some TB12 and eat me some avocado ice cream just so I can get in and out of these cars that we ride around in for the pivot.
You got to get you a Giselle. If that's Giselle's keeping him young. Yeah. Rick, I don't know if
I wasn't going to throw that in there, but somewhere that has to play some part in it.
That's true.
Yeah, it's not just the $70 million you bring home.
That would help, though. That would help me play carefree. Yeah. If the woman I was married to brought home $70 million, I'd be like, hell, I'll throw this thing anywhere. It don't even matter. I can fit it in that window.
You know what? I met him twice. He's the nicest guy in the world.
He really is.
If anybody could be a prick, if anybody could just be a prick, it'd be him. I mean, he's that highly thought of, never any trouble, just perfect role model. But he's just the nicest guy in the world. And I didn't want to walk over. I didn't even know who I was. Yeah. I went to Jim Harbaugh's All Pro Day that one year. Remember when he had that thing? Mm-hmm. They were trying to sign that kid.
Rashawn Gary.
That was it. So I went to that deal with him and Derek Jeter and all that. Mm-hmm. Lou Holtz and I said, my wife said, God, let's go over. It's that first rule of fighting. Everybody, we don't walk to them. Halfway between them, not walking around like a mark going,
Right.
Can I draw a graph, Tom, please? I'm not doing that. Somebody, we met halfway through, and he said, I'm a big fan. I didn't know whether he would be or not because he grew up in California. Mm-hmm. And our TBS market wasn't as strong, but what a great guy. I mean, oh my God.
I spent my whole career hating Tom Brady in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And we practiced with him in Washington, and we talked for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
In the middle of the field, I ended up calling Troy, and I was like, dang it, I freaking like Tom Brady, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, he's actually a good dude. I was like, he's actually a good dude.
He is, isn't he?
I was like, we now have to take back all of the things we'd say about him Monday through Saturday before we play. But here's what I'm going to say about you, though. Nobody should be a prick to you. If you talked about what Tom Brady could have done and how Tom Brady could have behaved, that's the same thing with you. The things that you accomplished, what you meant to young kids like us who got opportunities to watch you, and the things that you actually gave to the culture. So I don't want you to ever believe that somebody is big enough to big time you. And we're just so grateful that you came on the show, man. And thank you so much.
No, thank you. Are you kidding me? I'm honored.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. You want to get one more out before we end?
Woo!
Woo!
Man. Having a hard time keeping me delegated down. Thanks, man.
Man, thank you so much.
We're good.
It's good.
That was awesome.
Yes, sir.
Thanks,
guys.
Man.
Thank you.
Nature Boy Ric Flair right here, enjoying every moment with my men on the pivot. Woo! Look at him, holy wicked one. Woo!
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap in it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On a mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap in it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On a mission, got me up.